of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. On Palm Sunday, we are invited to not only engage in that somber yet glorious reading of Christ's Passion, we are invited also to cast our imaginations back to an ancient parade. Well, not really a parade. We've come to think of the Palm Sunday liturgical movements as a parade, I think because of how many in today's church reenact it, often with great drama, including loud hosannas, noisy neighborhood walks, Sunday school kids waving palm branches, and sometimes even a live donkey. We don't pull out all those stops at St. Thomas's these days, but the image of a Palm Sunday parade still lingers. What happened on Palm Sunday, though, was not a parade. It was a procession. What's the difference? Both parades and processions involve lots of people walking more or less in formation, and both can carry that same sense of excitement and celebration. But as I studied the various definitions and origins of these two words this week, I discovered that a procession is different from a parade in two important ways. First, in a procession, there is always a deeper purpose than just a party. The word procession comes from procedure. If you think of something like a medical procedure, it's always done with intention and executed precisely. A procession has purpose. A parade, though, can just be a party. In fact, the most common definition for a parade was a pompous show. A procession is laden with meaning, purpose, and symbolism. Ancient processions, for example, would herald the arrival of a king with every person in their proper place. The other difference is that a parade has, and is intended to have, people who simply watch it go by, or higher-ups who watch a military parade. In a parade, passive observers can stand on the sidewalk and just watch, smile, and enjoy. But in a procession, everyone is actively involved. Yes, people still watch, but with a procession, they cannot watch neutrally. Since a procession has meaning, those who watch it must either agree or disagree, support or decry, participate or walk away. Palm Sunday was a procession. Like others of its time, it too heralded a coming king as Jesus entered into Jerusalem, albeit in humility. This procession had purpose. Not everyone understood its purpose. In fact, only Jesus could fully grasp everything that was happening and was about to happen. But the Palm Sunday procession still had purpose. Jesus went out of his way, as we heard in our first gospel reading, to arrange it as he did, telling the disciples to go and fetch the colt, just as the prophet had described, infusing this joyful entrance with deep meaning indeed. And this procession, unlike a typical parade, had no neutral or passive observers. If you look closely at the account in the Gospel of Luke, which we read, we see that all of the people mentioned took sides, for or against, whatever they understood about Jesus, the man of the hour. Luke tells us that the crowds and the disciples did two things to show their support. First, they laid down their cloaks on the road. Now, this is not just to honor Jesus, not some act of chivalry as we think of it today. This is an expression of trust and devotion. Because under Roman occupation, a person's cloak was the only thing they were allowed to own outright, the only thing a Roman soldier could not take away from you by force. And so you can imagine, given that, how tightly people would hang on to their cloaks normally. Here, they lay them down. They are trusting in this Jesus, even though they don't yet understand what sort of Messiah he will be, to provide for them and to save them. That's what Hosanna means, Lord, save us. The other thing the people do, Luke tells us, is to praise God with great and noisy joy for the deeds of power they had seen. Now, this is ironic, of course, because Jesus is not processing from strength to strength here. He is not going on, at least in the short term, to greater power and glory. Just the opposite. He is processing to his sure suffering, torture, and death. But they praise him just the same, still happy with their mistaken expectation that Jesus is going to do like the Maccabees did and throw off their oppressors, violently if necessary. Jesus accepts their praise, imperfect though it is, because, as he tells the Pharisees, if the people do not shout, the stones themselves will fill the silence with hosannas of their own. The Pharisees, they're not passive observers here either, are they? This is a procession, and they too take their side. Teacher, they say, teacher being an address of guarded respect, but certainly not of praise, order your disciples to stop. The Pharisees see what's happening, and they, perhaps even more than the crowds, understand that this is no parade. They see the meaning. They see what this procession is saying about who Jesus is claiming to be, and so they try to shut it down. When I was in seminary, I had, as you would expect, a class or two on Anglican liturgy. And in one of those classes, I had to pick any aspect of a Sunday service and write a paper on what it really meant, what it was all about. My classmates chose the biggies, such as the Eucharistic prayer, the sermon, or the offertory. I chose the entrance procession. I can't remember why I was interested in this, but I pitched the idea to my prof. His first response was that he didn't think I'd find much meaning in that. And although I did manage to fill 15 pages, turns out he was right. Processions in the modern church are mostly practical. We walk in a certain fashion, basically because we have to have some way of getting everyone into place. But there is one symbol, at least, in a modern Anglican procession, as well as in other churches, and that's something I'm sure you've noticed. The person who is the highest up in the church hierarchy is the last person in the procession. So on a normal Sunday, that would be the priest. But if the bishop visits, the bishop walks in last, and so on. Sometimes it's quite an awkward dance in that hallway when we have guests trying to figure out who is the most important and who should be walking in last. Now, the intention of this is good. It's meant to be a sign of humility that instead of clamoring for first place in line, the servant leaders of the church clamor for last place instead. It's a way of honoring and giving a visual reminder of Jesus' teaching that the first shall be last and the last shall be first. But you know, once everyone knows what it means, once the secret is out that the person at the back of the line is considered the most important, the humility kind of loses its edge. I say this because the wonder of the Palm Sunday procession is that the secret was not yet out. The crowds knew enough to praise him, the Pharisees knew enough to suspect him, but only Jesus knew what his humble entrance on a colt really meant for him and for us. That's what made this procession truly remarkable. Remember, this happened before Christianity or history knew anything of Christianity, before crosses were hammered out of precious metals and worn around our necks, and of course, before the resurrection. Jesus entered into Jerusalem bearing this lonely knowledge in himself. Not even his inner circle knew what was coming. Even though Jesus had told them repeatedly he was going to suffer and die, they never seemed to get it. And when it actually happened a few short days after the shouting stopped, they abandoned him, everyone. So as we consider that Jesus, knowing all this, entered Jerusalem anyway, gave his life anyway, submitted to a spiritual and physical pain beyond anything we could imagine anyway, the meaning of the Palm Sunday procession really comes down to love. What does Palm Sunday mean to you? It's the question to ask ourselves, because once again, the events of today are not a parade. God has come to us humbly and graciously, but he is looking always for our response. The crowds and the disciples and the Pharisees didn't all agree about who Jesus was, but at least they took their stand. It's possible, we know, for people to come to church for months, years, even an entire lifetime, but watch the service as if it's just a beautiful parade floating by. May God grant us this year faith and courage to respond to the procession, to respond to the gift of his Son. Behold, our Savior comes to us humbly and riding on a donkey. Amen.